Live. Catch the podcast on kaya959.co.za.
Solange. So...
Hello, hi. By the way.
How are you doing?
Well, I just want to tell everybody that that was you. that's Sanbonani. That was Sheldon.
Oh, yes, I apologize. I didn't realize.
Everybody heard you.
Well, today it's just the two of us.
It's so lovely having just, you know, like a family where all the visitors have left the house.
Exactly.
And now we can just be us.
And get
you
down
know,
to
how
business.
You know how we stop smiling more.
Exactly.
Because it's just us. It's okay.
Yeah.
You know?
We don't even need to wear makeup
and
today.
And it's so we get tired. You know how exhausting it is to host? Guests.
For you, like, I don't even want to know.
So hosting guests is a thing, even in a home. So it feels like we're home. We are like, we the family people.
Indeed.
Are alone now today. And it's nice being alone sometimes.
It is nice to be alone. And it's nice to be close and intimate with you.
Yes, and it's we're just fine.
Yeah, indeed.
Yeah, no cameras, we're just fine.
Exactly, no cameras.
We don't need to tweet anything.
No glitter.
We don't need to tweet anything. It's just us and you at mm-hmm. home, just mm-hmm. listening, and it's only family members only.
Yeah. Mm. So today we decided that the theme would be spring songs because it's the first week of spring. And Solange, for me, Solange is the real talent in that family.
I knew you were going to go there. I knew you were going to go there. Okay. Where are the bees? What do they call them?
Yeah, the beehive.
The beehives. Yeah. The beehives are coming for you.
Oh, I'm
going to
get mutilated.
They are coming for you, but I agree.
Yeah, I mean, I think if you look at Solange and you look at Beyonce, Beyonce is a great exercise in marketing. They've done a phenomenal job on her.
She has a work ethic like nobody else.
Exactly.
So you can give that to her.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And she knows how to market. She knows how to push a brand and build on that machine.
And also, I think the other thing is that Solange is a brand.
Mm.
So her room for maneuverability is limited. So she can only do things within a certain sphere.
Yeah.
Otherwise, the fans are not going to buy into it. She needs to be very calculated as to what it is that she produces. Mm. Because if she doesn't stick to the formula, then she loses out. Whereas I think Solange has been given the freedom.
You meant Beyonce.
Yeah, sorry. I mean Beyonce.
Yeah.
Beyonce is a brand and she needs to stick to the brand and stick to the formula. Otherwise, the fans are not going to buy in and the market value diminishes.
And there's a lot of pressure there, hey?
Indeed.
Lots of pressure.
She's got to stick to the script. Whereas
and
I think
she's got to churn them out.
Exactly. Whereas I think Solange has got the freedom to explore and the time to explore. Mm. And I think that's a really... it does impact on the creativity because you hear the Solange output and it's like... Every album is different and it's every because she's got that freedom to do it. Now, the reason why I chose this song, Cranes in the Sky, firstly, it reminds me a lot of Minnie Riperton's Loving You is Easy 'Cause You're Beautiful, which is such a spring song. Mm. So, this is like a reinterpretation of that.
Yeah, I didn't think of that. Yes.
Yeah, it's giving, well, especially at the end where she hits the big high notes. Yeah, so it's giving that.
Mm.
What I love about this song is it's produced by one of my favorite producers of all time, a guy called Rafael Sadiq.
Mm-hmm.
And Rafael Sadiq...
We've spoken about him before.
Yes, and he's an iconic producer. So he was one of the members of a band called Tony in the 1990s, and then he was part of a super group called Lucy Pearl.
Mm.
Don't mess with my man, which was brilliant. And so that was for Rafael Sadiq, but he became like a really iconic producer, and he's produced for everyone, Whitney Houston and now Solange, and the names just go on and on and on. He's brilliant.
Mm.
That song won the Grammy Award for Best R&B Performance, and... The song was actually, and this is quite an interesting thing, and part of what I was saying about the Beyonce versus Solange thing, that Solange's got the time to marinate in these ideas. This song was actually written 8 years before it was released in 2016. And so she was tweaking and, manipulating and thinking, how is this thing going to come out eventually? And the song is about a breakup, and the cranes she's referring to are cranes, like the cranes that lift things and build things. And she's talking about how sometimes you've got these cranes that are building things, but they're actually, what are they building? Like, what is the purpose of what is getting built? And so that's what the song's about. And I just thought it was just like a nice, beautiful, modern interpretation of the Minnie Riperton song from the 1970s.
No, I like
it. And so that was our first song selection for tonight.
And who are we playing next?
So our next person is... his name is Trezor. And with one of my favorite bands, a band called Beatenburg. Mm-hmm. So Trezor is not a South African. Mm-hmm. He is from the Democratic Republic of the Congo. Mm-hmm. And he was orphaned at a very young age and left the Congo at the age of 17 and moved to South Africa, mm-hmm. to Durban. And... it's such an amazing story of a guy who comes to the country, to the big city, has nothing. He's got two jobs when he first gets to Durban. He is a security guard during the day. He's a car guard during the day and a security guard at night to earn money, to go into studio and record. And he then starts doing a few gigs and eventually gets signed. Gets his recording deal. And it just, sometimes the spirit of there's nothing that can get me down. There's optimism.
I'm destined for greater things. I'm
going to do this thing, come hell or high water. And that is what the Trezor story is the story of perseverance through all adversity. In a different country, without parents, without any support, and going and doing what he needed to do.
Yeah.
And the song is called Aphrodite, which is the Greek goddess of love.
Yeah.
And I thought that's brilliant because... springtime, lovers' time.
Absolutely.
Everyone's loving each other, new blossoms, everything's new, everything's fresh. Yeah. And so it was Matthew Fields, who's the guy from Beatenburg, who's a brilliant band from Cape Town, and Trezor decided that they both realized that they both had this passion for Greek mythology, and then they wrote this song. And it was released. It went 4 times platinum in South Africa, which is 80,000 units. It did very well. And the album was also brilliant, from an album called Nostalgia, which was Trezor's third album. And he had brilliant collaborations on the album with AKA, The Soil, Questa were on the album. And I just thought, this is a cool song.
Let's play a break, and after that, we'll be back with that music.
Woo! Woo!
See why it's nice not to have visitors.
Bruno Mars and Mark Ronson. That's actually a Mark Ronson song with Bruno Mars, 2014. What I love about that song is that this is another a slow burn. Like, Mark Ronson had, they had written the song many years prior to its release, and they were marinating on the song and tweaking it and fixing it. It actually was a jam. It was a jam that Bruno Mars and his band had performed while they were on tour. And Bruno and Mark Ronson had produced 3 songs on Unorthodox Jukebox, which was Bruno Mars's album. And he wanted to do something else with the guys. And then he heard this jam, and then this jam materialized into something more. And it became bigger and bigger, and eventually it became this song. Now, the beauty of this whole song is that it's very uncharacteristic for its era. I mean, this song sounds like it could have been the 1960s.
Yes, it does.
It could have been a James Brown song.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right.
Absolutely.
So it's got that James Brown feel. You can also hear like Cool and the Gang. You can hear Earth, Wind and Fire.
Everything.
You can hear Prince in there.
Yeah.
So it's like very funk, very old school, and yet such a massive hit now.
And the kids love it.
I love it. Kids. My kids love
kids
the song.
Kids love it. Kids love it.
So it's just a fun, happy song, and what better for spring than a funk song.
Yeah.
But anyway, so Mark Ronson is another one of my all-time favorite producers, and he produced Amy Winehouse's Back in Black. He's a British producer, and actually was around when he was around when Amy Winehouse passed away. So he also produced for Adele, he produced for Macy Gray, for Duran Duran, Lady Gaga. He produced Shallow for the Star Is Born soundtrack. Mm-hmm. He produced the Barbie soundtrack from last year. So he's a prolific producer. Brilliant. He's got such a soulful, funky sound. One of my favorite artists that he's ever produced is a woman called Nika Costa. She's an American female funk artist. Her dad was a famous jazz musician.
Yeah.
So he's just brilliant. And this song is just, it's got all the right things. The funny thing about this song is that when they first wrote it, it was credited to Philip Lawrence, Jeff Baskar,
yes,
and Bruno Mars.
Yeah.
But as the time went on, people were like, oh, but there's definitely a Charlie Wilson thing in there. And so they re-registered the song to include all the people that they had forgotten in the process of making the song. And I think because it took such a long, prolonged period of time to make, they forgot all of the influences that were in the music.
Yeah.
And so they re-registered the song twice to include all the songwriters that they forgot to credit
on the
song.
But that, that's honorable.
Yeah, yeah.
That's,
at least they did that. Instead of going to court. And
I can take that.
Yeah.
I can take that.
So I just think it's a fun song. I think it screams spring. It's, you know, like get out of your heated blankets and let's just live, you know.
So the next artist, one is obviously very well known, Black Coffee.
Yes.
But the most underrated artist, I think, right now is Nakane.
Oh my goodness. This
underrated
this person.
Artist. Like when I say artist, I mean artist.
Yes.
All round artist, not just musician.
Indeed.
He's a brilliant writer.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Have you seen what he's written?
Yes.
He published a book. He is, I said to him, my goodness, his writing is excellent.
So my exposure to them, because apparently they're not gender conforming.
You mean
Nakane?
Yes, no, he's not.
Yeah.
Well, so, I don't think it's a he.
It's a they. It's a they.
Yeah.
So I saw them perform at a French institute thing that they had in Utah.
Oh, man.
And I was standing there. I'd never heard of them.
What an artist.
And
what a gift. You know who he reminds, they remind me of? Prince. A bit of Prince.
Yeah, a bit of Prince. But with like folk
and
dance, EDM elements it's attached to it.
It's everything.
But
he's art.
So I stood there watching this person performing and I was so overwhelmed by the brilliance.
Yeah,
I mean, the
brilliant
stage presence.
He's brilliant.
The song was amazing. And I just, I was like, wow. So actually, interestingly enough, two of their biggest supporters, Elton John and Madonna. And apparently,
that doesn't surprise me.
Madonna said that the big inspiration behind the creation of her 2019 album, Madam X, was Nakane.
Wow.
So it just shows.
That is.
On another level. Is. On his last album, they had.
And you know what? Nakane is not for everybody. So that's, guys, let's not get it twisted. It's not that, you know, you're going to now go to Spotify or Apple Music and stuff like that and then discover this artist that resonates with everybody. No, that's not the case.
No. It's a very niche product, although.
But excellent.
Very good. Yeah. I mean, on the last album, they had Nile Rodgers on the album. I mean, how do you get Nile Rodgers, the guy from Chic, the guy who wrote for Madonna? I mean, he wrote for Madonna. I mean, the level of brilliance is just on another level. And I think people in South Africa don't appreciate him to the extent, although the streams are in the millions for Nakani. So I just thought this is brilliant. It was it's a collab between Nakani and Black Coffee. And this specific song was, it's titled We Dance Again. They were very like disillusioned with the folk world because that's where they started, in the folk industry, and then migrated toward, and then got a little disillusioned with like the state of folk music and a move towards more like an EDM electronic sound. And so this is that move into this more electronic sound. The song was inspired by their childhood, family, leaving the church. And this is when they dropped their surname because it was Nakani Tore. And then they dropped the Tore altogether, which is almost like a symbol of like rebirth and I'm being born as myself and not as part of something else. And so the song is We Dance Again.
So that's Black Coffee and Nakani.
Yes. And you know what I also forgot to say last? His musical influence is so interesting. And it's such a... because people often ask me, you know, like, what inspires you to write music? Or what, you know, like, you know, what are the inspirations behind the creation of music? And my belief is that you are what you listen to as a creator. The more you put yourself out there, the more you experience, the more you listen, the more diverse your sound will be. And it was interesting doing the research on Nakani and discovering that some of the influences included people like Radiohead, which is like such an unusual, like a rock band from the late 1990s, a rock band, or Leonard Cohen, who was a famous folk singer from the 1960s and 70s, who I'm not particularly a fan of because I think he's got a horrendous voice. But, I mean, a lot of people are inspired by Leonard Cohen because he was a phenomenal songwriter. Or another one of Nakani's influences, TKZ. So a little bit of Kwaito, George Michael, because of the queerness and probably seeing. But I wouldn't really choose George Michael as a brilliant like queer icon.
Yeah, although because he hid it for a long time.
He hid it for a very long time, and then it was like the falling off the rails after that.
Shame.
So for me, Elton John's a much better role model as far as a queer icon is concerned. Brenda Fassie is another big influence, and Thandiswa Mazwai. That name just keeps on coming up all
isn't
of the time. Every time we turn around, there she is again.
Yeah.
And now she's doing this delicious festival, which is
big. It's huge.
Can't believe it.
Who's coming?
Kailami, Janet Jackson.
Janet Jackson.
Jill Scott.
Jill Scott.
Imagine.
We've got to do a Jill Scott one of these.
Wow, we do have to do. I love Jill Scott.
Jill Scott is just the diva.
I remember listening to Jill Scott for the first time and being so blown away.
Oh, man.
But it was in that era where there were all these brilliant female singers like Erykah Badu.
And what was the other one?
Angie Stone, India Arie. Yes. They're all of these brilliant like...
Sunshine. India Arie is sunshine.
Yo, I love India Arie. She's got the most amazing... what I loved about her was the folk mixed with soul sounds that were coming out of India Arie, which was like this whole... other like aesthetic, like audio aesthetic.
Yeah.
But even Erykah Badu, when she first came out, it was like a completely different thing that we'd never heard before.
Yeah.
And she was very closely linked to D'Angelo, Angie Stone specifically, because they had a child together. But D'Angelo's, for me, the male version of Lauryn Hill. Like this prolific, amazing talent who only has produced a handful of albums.
And
so,
this next artist.
So she's probably the mother of...
complicated, talented, just all around, just such a brilliant artist.
Yes.
And a writer.
Phenomenal. Nina Simone, for me, is like on the level of tragedy of people like Karen Carpenter or Whitney Houston. I just... find her to be such a tragic character. I think because people don't understand creatives. And the creative psyche is such a fragile one. And if it's not nurtured and treated very carefully, it can go very wrong.
Yeah.
And I think the problem with Nina Simone was that she was this phenomenal, off-the-charts talent that got consumed by fame.
Oh.
The industry ate her up. Mm. And instead of trying to nurture her, they were trying to see how much they can get out of her. And I think it was in last week.
She got so angry.
Yes, because people wouldn't pay her or whatever it was. And I think it was in last week's show where we spoke about like how these people like Nina Simone or Aretha Franklin or Michael Jackson or Whitney Houston, they are one people industries. Like there is a whole army of people that make that thing function. So it's everything from the dancers to the musicians, the technicians, the makeup artists, the costume people, the everybody that surrounds these individuals. And this became like blatantly clear for me when Michael Jackson passed away in 2009, because he was gearing up for this This Is It concert tour, and there were all these videos of Michael Jackson rehearsing and whatever. And in all of those videos, there were hundreds of people. It was like dancers, and there was gophers, and there was technicians, and there was rigging people, and engineers, and whatever. And when he died, I was like,
what's going
to
happen?
What's happened to these people?
I always wonder about those people and wish that we could have enough of those stories of people who literally were part of that inner circle. And what happens when the person is gone?
Yeah.
When it all ends and you've been milking and milking and milking.
And now what?
And they will never call it milking, but they'll call it support. But I often wonder about those people.
Yeah. And interestingly enough, I watched a documentary on in the 1960s, there was a band called the Funk Brothers. And they were a band that performed on... Berry Gordy was a very, very clever... puppet master, and he completely orchestrated the Motown Revolution, Berry Gordy, and he had a band called the Funk Brothers. The Funk Brothers were a studio band that played on every Motown track. So what they would do is they'd bring Stevie Wonder in, the Funk Brothers were there, they played, then Stevie Wonder would leave, Gladys Knight would walk in, they would play, Gladys Knight left, Michael Jackson came in, they played, she left, Smokey Robinson came in, they played, left, next person, and it was the Funk Brothers were in all of these recordings. Now, what would happen is Berry Gordy had like a songwriting team, and they would write these songs, and they would then go into studio, but these songs didn't come with like sheet music. They were just like, this is the idea. And then these guys, the Funk Brothers, used to come up with the riffs. They came up with the melodic structures of these songs, and they never got credited for any of these songs. So it's part of this whole like machine that supports
that this was the big superstar, but actually there are people working
exactly and contributing to the to the intellectual property. And they don't know any better. So they think, oh, this is what a guitarist does. They're actually doing...
We just give our talent to the big star.
But you're actually not. You're actually contributing to the intellectual property.
Yeah.
And so that's so Nina Simone is part of that tragic story. But this song, interestingly, was originally done by a band called the Bee Gees. The song is titled To Love Somebody, but this is pre the Bee Gees blowing up.
Yeah.
The Bee Gees really blew up in the mid to late 70s. Mm-hmm. This was 1967. Mm-hmm. So this is pre very famous Bee Gees. Mm-hmm. And they wrote this song, and actually it was their manager who asked him to write the song, Robert Stigwood. And he was like, I want you to write like something that's along the lines of like Sam and Dave. Mm-hmm. Who have now asked, the family has asked Donald Trump to stop playing.
I loved it. I just thought it's brilliant. Because, you know, Beyonce told him to stop it.
Yeah.
Celine Dion told him to stop it. And then he just complied.
Yeah,
he didn't argue, whatever. And I thought the cheek.
Yeah.
The cheek. Just because he's now late.
Yeah.
He thinks he can get away with it.
Exactly.
And the family just took him to court.
Yeah.
And the court said, stop it.
Yeah, stop.
Playing the music.
So Robert Stigwood was like, I want something along the lines of Sam and Dave. Or I want something along the lines of Otis Redding. And so they wrote the song. And the song was like, it was okay. It was, I mean, relatively successful. But and then Nina Simone got hold of the song, and she reinterpreted the song. When you hear it, you hear it's like a funky, jazzy version of To Love Somebody. And to me, it's so ironic because the original inspiration was Otis Redding, the guy who wrote Respect, or Sam and Dave, Soul Man. You know, that was the original inspiration. And she took the song and she turned it into that. And her version of the song was a much bigger hit in the UK, which is where the Bee Gees are from. Well, they're partially from Australia and from the UK. And so her version of To Love Somebody was bigger than the Bee Gees version and was this phenomenal success because it came from like, and that was the genius of Nina Simone, was that she knew how to take something and breathe life into it. Like most of these iconic divas, like Aretha. And Nina Simone was one of those people that was able to just see the song from a different perspective.
You're my hero. Thank you, Sheldon.
Thank you for another lovely
show.
That
was so interesting and that was so different. Thank you so much.
Yeah.
We do it again next week.
Indeed. And I hope you guys have a wonderful spring.
Yeah, yeah, we're going to, people are going to have, you can see, so we have
new beginnings.
This wonderful new studio. I think everybody's heard about our new studio. And where we sit, we can, there's this gorgeous window across.
A picture window,
yeah. We can see everything. So there's a lot of life out there.
A lot.
Spring has sprung.
It's pumping.
Spring has sprung. People are out and about, and it's interesting to see.
Yeah, it is very interesting to see. But hopefully it's a good spring. Hopefully the interest rates drop.
The petrol price is
at
down.
At least one drop.
And so, guys, just have fun, but be safe this weekend. Huh? And we'll do it again on Monday.
Hey! Kaya. On the streets.
On the air. If you missed it live, catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.